Everyone, can you hear me all right? Yeah, what an amazing and wonderful God we serve. Actually, I really loved it this morning. And what I was going to talk about today was something very simple, really, and it's about thankfulness, having a thankful heart and a heart of gratitude. And Joyce started it all off by saying, thank you. I was like, yes, it's brilliant. And I think it's something that's so special and wonderful, and sometimes something that doesn't always kind of come naturally as well. I think it's easy to get carried away with things that are happening around us and situations. But I just want to share some testimonies of things that God's done in my life that I'm really thankful for. And also, I don't want this just to be about me, you know. I believe everybody has a word. Everybody has something that God has done for them, you know. That's why, as believers, we have something to rejoice about, you know, because we have a relationship with a living God, a God that works in our hearts day in, day out, a God that helps us when we cry out, a Lord that cares about every single tiny detail about us, every hair on our heads, and I think that's something extraordinary. More than just someone up there in the clouds, he's with us, you know, with us today, with us by the power of his Holy Spirit within us. So that's something very special indeed. So, yeah, I might do this to start with, actually. I just want everybody to think of something. It can be big, it can be small, it can be whatever. Just something that they're thankful personally to God for. Maybe it's, you know, maybe it's somebody else, maybe it's a situation, something that God's done in your life. It could be anything, but I just want everybody just to think of something. I might ask in a minute. So something that's happened to me recently, it's quite a small little thing, but I thought it was really nice. I was at work, and basically what's been going on over these past few months is my van has been just broke down. I was driving up the motorway and lost power and had to pull over onto the hard shoulder and wait for half an hour on the phone before anyone answered and the usual thing. And I got picked up and everything was fine. But I was kind of in limbo for a while, not having all my equipment and stuff. And eventually I ended up with someone else's old van, which was in a bit of a state and I had to sort out. I'd finally got everything sorted, got all my equipment on there, felt like I was kind of ready for everything. And then I go on this job, and we have these lid lifters, which you've got to assemble, put together, and then, you know, they're like hydraulic, and you push them, and they lift up these heavy iron lids. And I'd got all the parts of it on the van, and then I was about to assemble this thing together, and there was one piece missing, and I thought, what? And it was the metal bar that connects everything else together. And I thought, oh, no, I can't believe it. So I went to the yard, and I was looking around trying to find one of these things. You know, normally you find things just lying around there, and I was looking up, down, everywhere. I couldn't find one, and that, amazingly, someone else was there who I knew, who'd come, this was in Lancaster, who'd come all the way from Carlisle. I had no idea he was there, and he had one on his van. I was like, oh, fantastic. So I borrowed that just for the day. Then, and I never used this piece of equipment, it's like really rare. The next day, it was, and I needed to use the same thing again. And I thought, oh no, I don't believe it. And I was in Lancaster again, and I was like, well, I've already searched, you know, up, you know, high and low, and I couldn't find one. But I decided to look again, and I was kind of praying in my head a bit, saying, Lord, I need your help here. I really need you to help me. And I was with someone else, and we were walking around the yard. We'd kind of gone around everything, hadn't found it. And then the last place I looked was right in the corner of the yard. There was just a few cones. There was nothing really there. There was a few cones. And then that bar, the one I needed, was just sitting there right in front of me. And I just went, hallelujah. And I was with Gareth, and he said, oh, what did he say? Seek and ye shall find, or something. He was like quoting the Bible. I thought, wow, this is incredible. And it's a very small thing, you know, but I was just so thankful to God that, you know, I was fretting and all this, but at the end of the day, he, you know, as soon as I trusted in him, there we are, you know, he answered my prayer, and I was so thankful for that. So that was a very small thing, a little silly thing, but something that I'm very thankful for. Yeah, so Ask, I haven't put the scripture for some reason, but ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. So there's so many promises from God about, you know, if we come to him, you know, just, we can all ask, you know. He's given us all, you know, by the power of his Holy Spirit, we can approach him boldly and send our requests in. He wants to hear our hearts. He knows what's in there, but he wants us to come to him, to open ourselves up to him, to be willing. And, you know, he will take care of the rest. He's an almighty God. He can do anything. It's nothing for him. He probably laughs at it all. I don't know. So, before I move on, like I said, I don't want this all to be about me. I want to hear, because I think it encourages us. When we hear a testimony, when we hear a story about something that God's done, it's something that, you know, lifts everybody else up as well. You know, it encourages everybody, you know. So, is there anything that someone's thankful for that they want to share?
An impossible situation for me and Ron to be here today, thanking God for everything that's been done both ways.
That's one. I don't think anyone could beat that.
I got the best.
Well, I don't know about that. In the same vein, as soon as you said it, what are you thankful for? It was my husband. That was the first thing that popped into my head. I am so thankful for Vaughan that he brought us together. Two worlds apart, insane, and he brought us together. What a lark.
What a lad. I mean, we're the best part of that,
of course,
obviously.
Yes. But,
yeah.
Yeah. And I'm thankful. I mean, you restored our marriage after we got saved. When he restored so many things, because I just became thankful when I was saved. I mean, I was just, I can't explain the gratitude of knowing that he's alive and that he's there and his spirit's with us. That how can you, suddenly your life has a meaning and a purpose, and you know that you weren't just created by accident. It's that what comes out of that is incredible, and everything else starts to pale into insignificance. And I mean, at the time, I was thinking we're going bankrupt. £45,000 in debt, including credit cards and a bank loan. That was not including my mortgage. You know, that was just silly money. And so, you know, I'm thankful that he took us out of that place. But first of all, it started just because I had that peace. And then I could just trust him and say, Lord, I don't know how this is going to work out, but whatever you do is fine by me, because I'm just thankful that you're here with me. And you know, it's a whole story, and I'm very thankful. But in Philippians, it talks about being thankful for everything, you know. And I know R.T. Kendall actually said that when he realized that he needed to be thankful for everything, his whole ministry changed, everything changed, you know. And he does it every single day. He always makes a point of giving God thanks. And so when I read that, I thought, yeah, I'm going to make a deliberate point. And the blessings that I've had, just simply by being thankful and acknowledging our Creator, has been incredible. And so I'd encourage everyone to give thanks and praise. Amen.
Does anyone else have anything they're thankful about that they want to share? Big, small?
I'm really the only one stood up there, but don't get it. But I thank God for a communion table. Not everybody does this every Sunday morning, you know. Not the Eucharist and these other daft things. But we have the communion where we meet with Jesus. Hallelujah. And you do it every Sunday morning.
Amen.
I know it's been odd time when he didn't have it because he was with the children or whatever. And I've got upset in my heart. Why do the kids have communion as well? But I love communion. I love to be with Jesus. I love to be with the people in here. Thank you for putting up with me. Without putting the deal on as well. We all put our swords together. You don't get upset if I say something not quite right. All of you up with the word. Ask Jesus about it. If you don't like anything what I've said, tell Jesus. And I'll say the same thing. Some of you said, I'll tell Jesus. With all the truth scattered in the word. He's the way, not a way, the way, not a truth, the truth, and he's the life. Not a life, he's the life.
Amen.
Whom the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Glory be to God. Thank you for being in the church tonight.
Anyone else? Anything else? Tell you what, I'm thankful for. I mean, it's like, where do you start? Is it? There's all kinds of, you know. But I'm thankful for my family and the fact that, you know, yeah, they got my back, and yeah, it's such a blessing to have, you know, praying parents as well, and yeah, don't know what else to say really. Just very blessed. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank God for you. what should I do? I might share another testimony, actually, which is something that happened when I went to Asia. So, for those who maybe don't know, I went in 2012, just for a couple of weeks. I felt quite strongly called to go there. I felt the Lord was the one opening the doors for this opportunity. And I went to Southeast Asia for 2 weeks. I went to Thailand, Laos, and Vietnam. And it was basically to take Bibles into Laos and Vietnam, which are both quite closed countries when it comes to Christianity. And they don't so much care about Western tourists who come there who are Christians. But for those who live there, it can be very difficult to be a Christian. There's a lot of persecution from their own families, from their own tribes in these areas, but also from the government as well. So it's kind of every level, it's quite difficult for them. And there's a real hunger over there. Even in all that environment, the church is growing, you know, praise God. People are being saved. People are hungry, so hungry for God's word, to know more. And that's a real blessing. And so there was this opportunity open to take Bibles into these countries. So I got there on the first day, and we were all very tired and crashed out in this hotel, and I'd kind of just lied on the bed. I was just so tired. Threw my money belt, you know, on the floor, and it had my passport and stuff in. I don't know why I did it, thinking about that. But and then later on, we were ready to go for dinner, and I was looking everywhere, and I couldn't find this belt. And I was like, oh, sure, just put it on the floor over there. And the thing was that my door was slightly open, and I thought, oh, no. Maybe someone's, you know, gone and stole it or something like that. And anyway, I was looking up and down through the cupboards, in the drawers, on the, you know, under the bed, everywhere. I just could not find it. And we went out for dinner, and I was a bit, you know, devastated, a bit embarrassed because everyone else had to kind of pay for me. And I was thinking, this isn't right, you know. Came back, and we were praying, you know, all together as a team. And basically still couldn't find it. Everyone went to bed, and I just thought, I'd look one last time. And inside of me was this thing going, I know, when I was praying, I was going, I know that, God, you brought me here for a reason, for a purpose. If I don't find my passport and all this, I'm not going to be able to go on this trip, and it's all going to be for no reason. I thought, that can't be right. And I was like, Lord, you know, you have to show me where it is. Help me. And I went and opened the cupboard, and my bag was in there. And I'd already looked, bear in mind, I'd already looked there like 100 times. I'd already taken the bag out, put it on my bed, emptied it, everything, and it wasn't there. And I went back in, into the cupboard, took the bag out again, and it was just there, lying right there in front of me. And I just thought, that's really weird, but I'll praise God anyway. So yeah, it turned up, I was able to go. And then when I was there, we were in between, let me think, Laos and Vietnam. We got a plane, and we had to check our luggage in, and obviously in our luggage were some Bibles. And the bag I was carrying was just a bit too big for carry-on, and we didn't realize. So it kind of had to go through a different process, and I had to go into this other room, and they were like, oh, we just need to check your bag. And someone started opening it. And it was kind of wrapped around with clothes, and they were moving the clothes aside, and she saw the Bibles, and she just looked at me, gave me a smile, and let me carry on. And I thought, wow, close. So yeah, God was definitely in it, everything that was happening. And finally, on the way back, I think, one of the lasses was about to, we're all going to leave. And she had left her passport somewhere, and she didn't realize. And we were all sitting by this restaurant, and we couldn't hear the PA, couldn't hear the announcements from where we were sitting. But she and another lass went to the loo or whatever, and just as they went, they heard the announcement that a passport had been handed in, and they mentioned her name. And that was the perfect timing, because if she hadn't gone at that moment, she probably wouldn't have heard that. I would have been running around, could have missed a flight, you know. So that was another thing that I thought was really amazing, you know. So God was definitely looking after us all, even in our stupidity at times, leaving things lying around. I mean, we all do it, don't we? But yeah. So God is amazing, you know. And there are so many reasons why we can be thankful. So many reasons, you know. Every breath we breathe in, that's a miracle in and of itself. Every moment he keeps us, he sustains us. You know, he keeps us alive. He has a purpose, a plan for each one of us. And it's going to be very different from one person to the next. We have different callings, different giftings that the Lord gives us. While we all do certain things, there's certain areas where he can give us a very, you know, a unique gift that he wants us to walk into. For example, you know, I wasn't going to talk about this, so I don't know why I'm going off on a tangent, but you know, while we're all while we're all called to evangelize and to the people around us, there's people like, for example, Malcolm McPherson, who comes, and you see there's an extraordinary gift in that man for evangelism, and it's encouraging, you know, and it's amazing, and it's something very special that the Lord has given him. And for some, you know, while we could all prophesy, some have an incredible gift of prophecy. To be able to, you know, for the Lord to reveal things to them. And there's all kinds of different giftings, you know, some are musical giftings that the Lord gives people. And I've always been very fond and very interested in music, and it's something that's been very close to my heart. And actually, after I got saved and I started hearing worship music for the first time, I thought it was all like traditional choirs and organs. I didn't know that there was more. And so I was quite amazed, and I just started hearing songs like Blessed Be Your Name. That was like one of the first ones I ever heard, and some of the early Tim Hughes ones, Holy Holy by Tim Hughes and some other ones. And I just thought, wow, you know, and my heart was just rejoicing and singing, and I was just so happy. And I think, again, you know, just having... And often, you know, I'm not like that, but if I could be like that more, having that heart, having that, even when times are difficult, because I think they're the times, the difficult times, when we praise God anyway, when we come to him and just say, thank you, Lord, for everything you're doing, almost like a defiance, you know, to your situation. That's when, powerful things happen. So, some reasons to be thankful for God. I can think of one obvious one. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ, onto this earth to save our souls, to make a way for us to come to the Father, to come to heaven, you know, to be set free. That's amazing, you know? That's incredible. We don't deserve that, but he came anyway, you know? Because he loved, you know, because he loved us. And all we have to do is accept that gift. And it's that simple. And it blows my mind that people won't accept that gift. It really does. Because it's there, you know, waiting. And all the Lord wants us to do is say, okay, you have your way in me. I surrender myself to you. Lord, take me. Change me. Make me a new man. You know, wow. That's incredible. So, of course, God is good, always, and he is loving and kind towards us. In 1 Chronicles 16:34 we read, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever." And in Psalm 107, verses 8 to 9, we have the same idea. "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men, for he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness." You know, this is it. This is the Lord we serve. And of course, without his love and goodness, we wouldn't be here right now. It's for his love, you know, for his goodness that, like I said, he sent Jesus and saved us. And he gives us the opportunity to change, and he helps us by the power of his Holy Spirit to work within us. And this is something I was thinking, actually, as I was preparing for this. I was thinking, the Lord, salvation is just the beginning. It's like, that's the start. And then you're on an incredible journey with God, learning about him, you know, with him wanting to teach you as a good father, you know, in the ways of righteousness. And so easily, I know, talking personally, you get distracted by things that are going on around you. But, you know, when you come to the Lord and just say, right, Lord, have your way in me. I find an incredible time where you just start to learn so much and you feel his presence so dearly and nearly, you know. So being thankful to him is also the will of God. That's what God wants for us, you know. As it says in 1 Thessalonians verse 5:18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." It changes everything, I believe, when we have that attitude of thankfulness, you know. Suddenly our eyes aren't focused on a situation, they're focused on an almighty God who can deal with any situation. It changes everything, you know. How about we're all being a part of God's kingdom? "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." So he's called each one of us out of darkness into his wonderful light. That's something worth shouting about, you know? Something worth telling people about. Something that people will see in you if you allow your light to shine. Now, for me personally, I find it, I can be quite sensitive, and I do care, you know, what other people think about me, but sometimes that's not what matters. What matters is what God thinks about you, and just letting him work through you, you know. Don't be afraid to let him change you. Let him work on your character. This is something, again, that God's really been speaking to me in these past few weeks, past few months, about my character, and I find it very easy to react out if I feel unhappy with a situation, and I know that there's a right way to do things, and it's, you know, the fruits of the Spirit, gentleness, self-control, loving kindness. I'm sure people can remember them more than me. Patience, love. How could I forget love? Peace, joy.
Self-control.
I said that was the one I remembered, you see, because that was really important. It's all important. Yeah. Faithfulness, yeah. So these are all something that the Holy Spirit produces within us as we kind of surrender our hearts to him. And that's something that the Lord has been, I mean, ever since I was saved, always, you know, working in me. I'm a work in progress. I'm still very much so a work in progress. But I'm just thankful that God uses, you know, us as broken people, as people who aren't perfect, as people who fail in a lot of ways, but he wants to, like I said, to help us grow. And that's the goodness of the Lord, really. Philippians 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Again, all about the our attitude, really, towards him. You know, prayer with thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord. It's an incredible thing. Being thankful causes us to focus on how God can solve our problems. It gives us the ability to look into God to help us rather than concentrate or focus on the problems which are making us anxious. Thanking God for all the good things he has done gives us peace of mind. It keeps us at peace knowing that God is with us and nothing can be against us. Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, for which you were also called in one body, and be thankful. So there's a great link as well between praising the Lord, between worship and having a heart of thankfulness. Like, thankfulness and praise, they're so intimately connected. You know, how can we praise God if we're not thankful? You know, it just doesn't make sense. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Psalms 100, verse 4. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. Psalm 95, verses 2 to 3. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Colossians 3, verses 16 to 17. You know, I thought that worship was great this morning because I felt like everyone was really putting their hearts, their souls, you know, like, you know, worshipping the Lord in spirit. And I thought that's just such a wonderful, wonderful thing, such a wonderful time. And there's so, like I said, so many reasons to be thankful. God is gracious. For all things are your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Yeah, thank you, Lord, you know. The Apostle Paul expressed his gratitude to God because of the faithfulness of the brethren. He wrote, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken throughout the whole world." You know, he was thanking, you know, the churches and the it's just this attitude of thanks is so amazing, really. As Christians called into the body of Christ, we have a spiritual family bonded by a common faith. Having this family allows us to be stronger because of the support that we get. The brethren enable us to learn, grow, and appreciate God's love for us. Thus, it is only logical that we must be thankful for our brethren. Thankful for each other, like saying, thankful for the church, thankful for iron sharpening iron, for also encouraging each other. And the Lord, you know, giving each person a part to play is also an incredible thing. You know, as a body, we all have different functions. You've got the eyes, the ears, the mouth. I mean, you can go on. You know, again, different giftings. Some have giftings of prophecy. Some have giftings of discernment. Some have giftings of, you know, musical nature. Some have, you know, to do with, I believe, compassion and children. There's all kinds of different ways that God works through people and giftings that he gives them, you know. So when we all work together and also encouraging another by thanking each other and saying, you know, that was really good or well done or something, I think that's something that really makes a difference. And sometimes, to be honest, it's not even about others. When we have a thankful attitude, it makes a difference within us as well. Having a thankful attitude allows us to be happier. Thanking God for everything, even the small things, sets a natural response in our body that leads to us being more peaceful and content and blessed, you know. As we read in Psalm 92, verse 1 to 3, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night, on an instrument of 10 strings, on the lute and on the harp, with harmonious sound." Something special, something really special when everyone comes together, when everybody worships. I mean, to be honest, even if it's you worshiping the Lord, that's special. But then when you have, like, you know, in heaven they've got choirs of angels that are worshiping. I can't quite imagine what that sounds like, but I bet it's incredible, you know. Second Corinthians, verse 9:15, we read how Paul thanks God for his blessings. "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. It gives us the ability to look to God rather than, like I said, rather to concentrate on our problems, which makes us anxious." Paul is saying that God has given us blessings so incredible that no words can describe or express it. We are completely left in awe and humility towards God's tremendous blessings, something that our human mind can't fully grasp and conceive. While it is true that we might go through difficult times and suffer bad things happening in our lives, we will never come to the point that we would have nothing to be thankful for. And maybe the last point on reasons to be thankful, I mean, there's so many, but another reason is because it helps us avoid falling into the trap of sin, focusing on the wrong things, going down a path that's not healthy. And of course, a grateful heart is less likely to covet something, you know. You're going to be more open. And I think it's like an attitude. It's a completely different attitude. And once you have the heart of thankfulness towards God, everything kind of comes into place, because it's by having that attitude, it's like putting the Lord, I think, at the top, at the head of everything that's going on. So it doesn't come naturally, and I think especially when we're going through difficult times, it does take an effort to actually say, right, Lord, I'm going to focus on you. And this is to me as well, because I know a lot of the time I don't, I just react in a kind of natural way, but I want to, when times are difficult, you know, focus more on God and say, actually, why am I worrying? Why am I fretting? You know, he's in control ultimately, so that's a special thing. So ultimately, I guess the biggest thing I'm thankful for is obviously my salvation and being saved. And again, for anyone who doesn't know it, it happened to me quite radically when I was a teenager. And I think from a very young age, I was kind of quite different, quite a sensitive kind of guy. I wasn't really into sports, more into, like I said, music and things like that. And I did get bullied a bit, you know, at school and stuff. Ended up moving primary school, but I kind of ended up bringing a lot of problems with me and reacting very angrily when I felt things weren't fair, and I did a few things like stab someone and with a fork and with a pencil and all this. I was a bit out of control as a young child. And growing up, I found it difficult. And anyway, actually, I quite enjoyed primary school, to be honest, overall, and things got a bit better as I kind of, you know, went on. But then I went to secondary, and I was the only one who went to the Queen Catherine in Kendal. Everyone else was going, like, to Kirby Stephen and other ones. And that was a real... I didn't realise how difficult it would be. And I ended up going first day on the bus with no one I knew, turning up, you know, all these kids had grouping around with their friends, and I was just stood there, didn't have a clue what to do, didn't know how to approach people, just, you know, just awful, you know. And weeks went by, months, and, you know, you I don't know, I was very young, but you try and smile and you try and fit in and all this, but obviously, you know, in fact, to be honest, I even tried joining in with the football and stuff, but obviously I wasn't very good at it, but And I think they started probably making a bit of fun of me, but then I thought, well, fair enough, I'm not, you know, I'm a bit useless at this. But so it was a bit difficult. And months went by, and I wasn't really getting anywhere, and I was hating school. And I was getting to the point where I was kind of like sitting in my seat, and I'd sit so low down and crouch so that I would avoid everyone else around me looking at me, or I'd feel like sometimes they would, what are them things they blow, them paper? Used to blow them paper balls or stuff, spit balls, yeah, on the bus. And I think they'd always kind of target, you know, easy targets. And obviously I was an easy target, so I'd always try and hide down. And it was difficult. And in year after year eight, my form tutor really started kind of helping me. I felt I could trust her, and, you know, and also I ended up meeting a few people and getting to know some guys, started to make friends and all this type of stuff. And although, you know, I still very much felt out of place, it was easier from then. But I still had all these issues inside. I still felt very vulnerable, and I kind of closed myself off a bit as well. And I got to this thing where I started feeling sorry for myself, like, all the time. And I kind of want other people to feel sorry for me and all. I don't know why it was just my thinking wasn't right, you know. And I got to the point where I started to shut myself off, spent a lot of time alone, didn't want to really go outside, would just go home and just shut myself off in the room and not really be interested. And I started to get pretty depressed, to be honest with you, just thinking, what is the reason, you know, for life? And I'm kind of not really enjoying it. And, you know, I was just getting to that point of just despair, really, just thinking, what's the point? And then I came into school one day. Everyone was sitting down in absolute silence. I was late this day. I think the bus must have been late for some reason. And I walked in, and you know, the looks on everyone's faces was just shocking. Like, obviously something huge had happened. And I sat down, waited a few minutes, and teacher came in again and said, for those of you who came in late, you've got some bad news to tell you. And basically, my form tutor, she'd died the previous night in an accident, and she'd been on the back of a motorbike and come off and all this. And it had happened very suddenly, and it was a big shock to us all, but it was also a real shock to me, because, like I said, I felt I could trust her. She was my form tutor and someone, you know, who I could approach about things, and it really kind of hit me. And I spent the rest of the day in shock, kind of just wandering around, just not knowing what to do, not knowing how to feel, just being totally in shock. Got home. Mum and Dad weren't home. I had to wait for them, and I was just, like, crying, and they came in, and I just cried and told you what had happened, and I just started saying, didn't I, about, oh, what about, and I was talking about life, and I was like, what about eternity? And I was like, you know, I was thinking about me as well. I was thinking about the way I, you know, what if I go tomorrow? Because I don't know. She was young. I don't know what's going to happen to me. And I just started thinking about the way I was living my life. I was thinking, this is not right. And I was just in such despair within me. And I was just like, I have to cry out. And I cried out to God. And I said, Lord, if you're real, I need you to change me. I'm so sorry for the way, you know, and all this stuff was just coming out without me even thinking. And that was my prayer. And I tell you what, he answered that prayer in a very powerful way. And he changed my heart to the point where everything, yeah, I think, was it Graham who's mentioned it? Everything looks greener. Everything seems more vibrant. You hear things like the birds. And this literally what happened to me. I saw everything in a new light. It was like the scales had come off my eyes, you know. And I enjoyed being outside suddenly and spending time around people. I even did a bit of skateboarding. I mean, it's just unheard of, you know. So by his mercy and his grace, he did that to me. And in that moment, I felt like an incredible feeling, like feathers and also like a warm blanket surrounding me from my head to my toes. And I felt a peace within that could only be described as something I vaguely remembered from when I was like 2 years old and there were no problems in the world and you were so content with everything. And that was just this incredible feeling I had within me. And I knew from that point, I never had a reason not to have a hope, you know, because I knew that he was my rock, he was my salvation, that I could trust the Lord in everything, and that, and that for me was the start of an incredible, and not always easy, but an incredible journey. And they ended up going to Brazil, going to Asia, on missions, meeting people from all over the world, sharing my testimonies in insane places, like in the middle of a men's prison with nothing between you and them in Brazil. And you think, oh my goodness, you know, big, massive man. You think, oh, I'm just here giving my testimony. So, yeah. And the thing is, that's my story. And it's different for everybody. Sometimes it's not fireworks or explosions. Sometimes it's just a slow and gradual process that God slowly works on your heart and helps you and you grow in him. And, you know, but whatever it is, it's something extremely special. And without God, I know for me, you know, without God, I probably wouldn't be here today. I certainly wouldn't be talking to you. And I wouldn't have had all the amazing opportunities that have been given to me, really. So I want to encourage everyone here that it's never too late. It doesn't matter what you've been through, what you've done, what mess you've made, you know, that come to the Lord. Come to the Lord. He will lift you up. He will, you know, the promise is that if we come to the Lord, if we come to him with a heart of thanks, with a heart of gratitude, with just saying, right, Lord, you be number one in my life, you know. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. Then incredible things happen. He will take you on a journey. He will lift you up. He will teach you things. He will, you know, you will meet people and go to places you probably never thought were possible. And yeah, it might just be around the road. You might just be down the street. But wherever you are, God can use you in a mighty and powerful way. Yeah. Wow. I thought I was early. So let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for everything that you do for us. Thank you, Father, for sending your Son to save us all in our sin, in our blindness, to come and rescue us from the pit, Father, to take us out of the sea where we're drowning, to lift us up and to look after us. That you're such a good and loving Father, and that you want the best for each and every one of us. I just pray that we would all realize that in its fullness and just trust you in every single part of our lives, every single area of our hearts. Thank you. Thank you for how incredible you are. You're almighty. You could just touch us and we could fall to the ground dead, but instead you want to help us and grow us and let us lead a life that is pleasing to you. Father, help us to do that. Help us to be the light, to share about you to the people around us. Because we know it's not about us. It's not about our abilities, but it's about the power of the Holy Spirit within us, working through us. Father, help us just to be open to your Spirit. Help us to we want to see people around us set free and saved. You know, we want to see Penrith changed. We want to see this area changed for your glory. Nothing else but your glory. So thank you, Father, for what you're doing. Help us to go each and every day with a heart of thankfulness, with a smile on our faces, knowing what that the Lord has done for us. Help other people to see that through us, Father. Help us to just be that light, be that example as you lead us every day. In Jesus' name, amen.